If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
What if I told you Yankee history wasn't his specialty?
Who's Casey Stengel?
What if I told you sometimes he struggled with names?
I believe it's Dylan Betances.
No, it's Del.
What if I told you he didn't only struggle with Yankee names?
Josh Edgin.
What if I told you he was ready to learn?
Who's Casey Stengel?
That he wanted a first-hand account on the name that has long haunted him.
Who's Casey Stengel?
The Michael K. Show now presents Peter Rosenberg Studies, Casey Stengel.
Who's Casey Stengel?
On 98.7 ESPN.
It was that moment when I realized we had a real special firecracker wild card in the person of Peter Rosenberg when he thought Casey Stengel was a made-up name. So it's a perfect confluence of events. It's like the Monongahela and the Allegheny and the Ohio River.
That's right.
So my good friend Marty Appel knows baseball as well as anybody.
Better than you?
I'd say it's right. He probably knows better than me.
I assume he does.
And he has a great book out, Casey Stengel, Baseball's Greatest Character. Hit bookshelves yesterday, and Marty joins us now. Marty, can you believe that there is a person on this planet that did not know who Casey Stengel was?
Well, hi, Peter. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Marty. Pleasure. I love meeting people this way.
Thank you. I was aware of it because I remember that bit from, when you expressed ignorance about Casey Stengel. But actually, in the 2.5 years that I've been living this project, I've discovered very few people under 40 who heard of Casey Stengel.
Really?
Let alone his accomplishments.
Well, I was going to ask you, Marty, of course you're the perfect person to ask about this, because people ask, what are you working on? You tell them, and you see their reaction, either, oh my God, I'm so interested, or who's Casey Stengel? And what I guess I find more surprising now about myself, not knowing, given understanding his importance at this point, and learning just a little bit about him, though I want to hear more from you, is that I find it even more surprising that I'm not, as much as they make fun of me, I am not a total baseball ignoramus. I grew up watching baseball, playing baseball in the D.C. area, and yeah, it was not, certainly his name was not one that was around all the time to the degree that it seems like it should be based on the time I've now spent in New York.
Do not let him off the hook, Marty.
Thank you, Marty.
How many pennants do you have to win?
A lot. Now, and a third team, maybe a third or fourth team winning pennants would have been nice.
I am holding up the book. It's a great cover by Marty, Casey Stengel, Baseball's Greatest Character. And, all I remember about Casey, they have it up there right now, and yes. All I remember about Casey and all the things I read growing up is that he was, a lot of what he did was by the gut. So my first question to you in researching this, Marty, and writing it, could he have survived in today's day and age where computer drive everything?
Well, he had a computer mind back then, and of course it helped that he had such a deep bench, and he was able to platoon players in and out. He had like 7 infielders who were all stars. So as he proved by the end of his 55-year career, if you got the players, you're going to win. And if you don't, hello, New York Mets, you don't win no matter how smart you are.
Was the parting with the Yankees a bitter parting, and was it a case of ageism?
He lost the 7th game of the 1960 World Series when Bill Mazeroski hit that home run. And nobody ever would really know if the Yankees were going to fire him if he won that game. It was thought he mismanaged that series, especially the pitching rotation, that he didn't have Whitey Ford available for a Game 7. So the Yankee management was handed an excuse to make a move, which they credited to a new retirement age policy that they were instituting. The truth is, there's a lot of truths that go into it, but part of it is they were afraid they were going to lose Ralph Houk. He was seen as a great managing prospect. Boston and Detroit, 2 teams he actually wound up managing later on, were both in pursuit of him. And they figured Casey's going to last another year or two, and they don't want to lose Houck in the process. He's the perfect successor. So they pulled the trigger then to make sure they didn't lose Ralph Houck.
I just have a question about doing the book. How do you, the guy who was born in 1890 and who's been gone for over 35 years, what did you do to get the bulk of research done for this book? Who was most instrumental in helping you get it done?
Well, I'll tell you, when it was first suggested to me by the publisher, I was a little intimidated because my friend Bob Creamer wrote a great Casey Stengel book like 35 years ago. But I realized that with the advent of the Internet, I was going to have access to stuff that Bob Creamer didn't have 35 years ago. And I was able to go to the newspaper archives of the small minor league towns in which Casey played. And then the family gave me an unpublished memoir by Casey's wife, Edna, which showed a whole different side of him, the wedding, the romance, the side that the public never even saw. So we get a full picture here of Casey Stengel, the baseball figure, and Casey Stengel, the man. He was not a romantic guy at all. Edna wrote that he never actually proposed to her. They were taking a walk one day, and he just said, "So, you want me to convert to Catholic?" And that was the proposal.
Very, very sexy. Here's a question, Marty. After he gets fired by the Yankees, where he'd known nothing but success and championships,
right?
Why the Mets? Why would he go that route? Is that the only route that was available to him?
No, he had other offers. The Angels were starting in 1961, and Gene Autry pursued him. The Giants and Horace Stoneham pursued him for San Francisco, where they wound up hiring Al Dark. But he liked the idea of the Mets because he'd be reunited with George Weiss, who had been his general manager at the Yankees and was now the president of the Mets. And he kind of liked the idea of sticking it to the Yankees and competing with them, which he did very successfully in their third year. Of course, when they moved to the new ballpark at Shea, they are outdrawing the Yankees. And Casey's marketing of that team had a lot to do with it.
But didn't Casey, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he almost turn himself into a clown figure with the Mets when he was obviously considered a champion with the Yankees?
He was a clown figure before he came to the Yankees.
Right.
That was the...
As a player, the Yankees have
hired a clown.
Right.
So he went back to it with the Mets, and that was his job. I discovered he really became a much different manager. With the Yankees, even at age 70, he was fully engaged. He could remember what this hitter did against that pitcher back in April. He was really pushing all the buttons. Then he was out of baseball in 61, and in 62, when he came back to the Mets, he saw his job differently. It was to entertain, it was to amuse the writers, it was to communicate with the fans, and he let his coaching staff, Cookie Lavigetto and Solly Hemus, do most of the managing, the lineups, the pitching rotation. And Richie Ashburn, his very gifted center fielder, was actually the on-field manager, positioning the players and running the game from center field.
Baseball is back.
The swing and a ball hit hard down the left field line. It's a tie game. Unbelievable.
Two of the American League's best go head-to-head on opening day in Arlington, Texas, when the Rangers face the Indians. Coverage begins Monday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and at 7 Eastern on ESPN.
Marty Appello has a great book out about Casey Stengel, baseball's greatest character. And believe me, if Marty wrote it, it's worth reading. He does a great job on everything that he touches. So go out and buy it. It's on bookshelves as of yesterday. Marty, I've always read rumors, you know, in books that DiMaggio didn't like him. True or not?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because it actually lends itself to a great spring training story. DiMaggio was one of those who thought Casey was a clown. He couldn't believe the Yankees had hired him. And Joe, of course, by 1949, was the elite figure in the game. So now they're going to test each other. First day of the first spring training together, in St. Petersburg in 1949, Casey walks into the clubhouse and reads the player rules for spring training. And one of the rules is you can't go to the dog track at night. This, everybody knew, was what DiMaggio did every night. So here was Casey drawing a line in the sand on the first day of spring training together. Now, you know what happened? DiMaggio went to the dog track every night anyway, and when the writers asked Casey about it, Casey said, well, I have no firsthand knowledge of that, so I have no comment. Could you imagine that happening today?
Wow.
2,500 cell phone photographs of Joe at the track and the Daily News headline saying, what now, Casey?
So, I mean, there was never any love between these two, even through DiMaggio's final year.
No, they respected each other. They never criticized each other in public.
Well, why did Stengel do that, though? Why was he trying to set a tone like that with DiMaggio?
He was trying to establish who's the boss, and he did it repeatedly. I mean, Billy Martin was, you know, to everybody's view, his beloved disciple. Billy was Casey's boy, as even the plaque says in Yankee Stadium. But then Billy got traded in 1957 after an incident at the Copacabana nightclub, and Billy forever resented Casey for not stopping that trade and standing up for him. And Casey would, and they didn't talk for 20 years, and Casey would tell people, tell Billy Martin to grow up. This was his profession. People get traded every day. Grow up and get used to it.
Did Mickey like Casey?
Mickey liked him. He was kind of a father figure to Mickey.
Did Whitey like him?
Whitey liked him as well. Of course, Whitey and Mickey sort of liked everything the same or didn't like everything.
But if you look at when Ralph Houck took over the Yankees, though, Marty, he gave, you know, Whitey had his best statistical year because he pitched him all the time. Casey didn't pitch Whitey all the time.
It's true. The guys who played for Joe McCarthy and Stengel preferred Joe McCarthy. The guys who played for Stengel and Ralph Houck preferred Ralph Houck. But, of course, they liked cashing those World Series checks all those Casey Stengel years, too.
Now, before I let you go, is it true that Casey once had a bird under his hat when he was a player?
He'd been traded from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, and when Pittsburgh went back to Ebbets Field for the first time, the fans were booing him because he was an enemy player. So Casey scooped up a sparrow in the bullpen, and when he ran in towards the dugout and the fans were booing him, he tipped his cap and the bird flew out, and that was his gesture to the fans, giving them the bird, which they loved, and they cheered him, and they loved him ever after.
Go buy the book. I just received it, so I can't sit here and lie that I've read it, but if Marty did it, I am going to read it. It's going to be great. Casey Stengel, baseball's greatest character. Marty, best of luck with the book, man.
Send me one of those caps.
You got it. You got it. And we're going to give Peter a Casey Stengel quiz.
No, I want that. By the way, I need that book. For all the abuse I've taken, I need that copy first.
Okay.
And I want to, we'll have Marty on. And it's a long book, so I might need about 8 months. But I'm going to do a book report.
All right, Marty. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Now, the New England Patriots have reportedly drawn a line about drafting someone. And they said they're not going to draft him. Are they right? Are they wrong? Are they against really the right thing of, you know, if somebody does the time, whatever the case may be? We'll get into that in just a moment. And later on, we'll have that quiz of Peter about Casey.
Well, I'm not going to be able to finish the book between now and
no,
then.
No, no, no. Just off the interview, there's going to be questions asked.
Really?
You got to be listening to the interview.
Okay.
All right. Kay Rosenberg and you on Yes or 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael Kay Show. Highly dependable, slightly dysfunctional, always entertaining.
Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at TMKS ESPN.